You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
And welcome back. It's Broncos Blast section of Clark & Company. He's Ian St. Clair from Mile High Report. I'm Michael Clark. We will evaluate the Broncos draft in light of the NFL and the division with Joe Rolls from Mile High Report next. But first, we'll tell you that we lift our weekly Argonaut Wine and Liquor toast to the Run for the Roses. In its traditional place, the first Saturday in May, things getting back to normal? Well, maybe. Kentucky Derby, get all your fixings for your mint juleps, the traditional drink of the Run for the Roses, at your one-stop shop, Argonaut Wine and Liquor, 760 East Colfax. Much of it on sale at Denver's biggest, best-priced liquor store with the city's largest selection of cold beer, which is so important now that the weather has changed. We're in a great run right now. There's no tradition like it. And so if you're not having your mint juleps at Kentucky Inn this morning, as we discussed last segment, and Aaron Rodgers coming to Denver, go to the Denver store that's family-owned, more than 50 years. Don't you love traditions like that? Argonaut Wine and Liquor. And this week, for all email list holders, all wines from New Zealand, Australia, on sale too. Get on the email list for Sheila's Grapevine for unbelievable deals. The one-day wine sales have some phenomenal prices that you can get at ArgonautLiquor.com or on Facebook and see the other special features, the in-store tastings, the special video reports, the evaluations of your favorite wines and other liquid treasures, more than 17,000 different items in all at Argonaut Wine and Liquor. Order online, order they deliver, curbside or cash register pickup. Argonaut has it, 760 East Colfax. And this section brought to you by Framed Art. Keep calm, frame on with Brian Hart, not just sports. Graduation day just around the corner. Look on Twitter and Facebook this week at Framed Art, how they can frame your graduation announcements using the Valiani Crescent mat cutter, a computerized mat cutter. Cut small circles. It can't be done by hand. And your favorite frame store, Framed Art, the award-winning Framed Art, has it for all your sports memorabilia, personal and fine art needs. Go to the award-winning framer for Metro Denver, Framed Art, 3065 South Broadway. And on that note, we welcome in Joe Rolls. Follow him at J-O-R-O underscore NFL. And, good morning, Ian, and I welcome you back to the show, Joe. Good morning.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Great, great. Certainly, Ian's described it as a roller coaster. Obviously, the Aaron Rodgers deal is possible but not imminent, especially because salary cap considerations mean it'll happen in June at the earliest if it does happen. But how do you evaluate in terms of personal style and ability, and how do you rate the general, George Payton, the Broncos general manager, first draft through the first 2 days?
I mean, he's definitely patient. I think it kind of reminds me of how George Payton was willing to gamble on Kareem Jackson's contract, turning down the team option, letting him test the market, and then getting him back for cheaper. The fact yesterday that he traded down from 71 and willing to pass on what he said was the two top players on his board to then wait till the end of the third round to then draft Quinn Meinerz and Baron Browning was very savvy. it kind of showed that he had a better feel for how the league saw those players than I think everybody on the outside did.
In terms of the first pick of day two, you're a big Javonte Williams fan. You had him
I love him.
You had him as your top running back in the draft. Why do you like him so much? And what does he bring to this offense?
Oh, just elite contact balance. He's a violent runner. He inflicts punishment on his opponents. It's visceral. Like, there's just play after play where he'll stiff arm a guy or a tackler will bounce off him and not phase him. He has good speed, not great speed, but in terms of phone booth quickness, he's near the top of the class in terms of, for a man his size, he's got very, very good lateral quickness. And he's a scheme fit, which is one of the things I love. The Broncos love to run pin and pull. Like, I know you guys remember the Miami game with how much Denver was running it then. But they mix into those kind of concepts quite a bit. They also run a lot of gap concepts with the power and then the counter HF that they use. And all those things are things that Javonte Williams is really, really good at UNC. So he's an easy projection into the Broncos offense. And they need a running back. Melvin Gordon last year was good, but he has played in one full season once. His contract runs out after the year, and they let Philip Lindsay go. And while I like Michael Boone, he's unproven as a running back.
And then in terms of Baron Browning, there is a potential, I guess, Justin Hollins-esque piece where Fangio it sounds like he's going to start him inside, and if it doesn't work, he'll flip him outside. What do you make of that pick? And then, of course, the gut, let the belly breathe. What do you make of the Wisconsin Whitewater offensive lineman in Manares that Peyton was able to get?
So I had Baron Browning as my third linebacker in this class behind Micah Parsons and Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. I think there's some concern about his processing. He couldn't find a permanent home at Ohio State. He bounced around a lot, but he also has a very versatile skill set. He's a very, very good pass rusher. I would say that in terms of inside linebackers, he's right behind Micah Parsons as the best blitzer in this class. But he's an elite athlete, very good in space, able to move fluid in space. He needs his clock to kind of speed up, and I think that's where Fangio comes in. Fangio's been one of the best linebacker coaches in the NFL for decades, so I'm very confident that with Browning landing in Denver, he's going to reach his ceiling, and I think his ceiling's enormous.
But, you know, and I'm more familiar with Baron Browning than any of the other draft choices here, although I have seen Surtain play quite a bit as well. And when you have that kind of athleticism, but a guy who just the body is so alive, you expect big things. But frankly, it was Pete Werner, Zach Harrison, the other linebackers at Ohio State who made plays and not Baron Browning. And so, you know, Fangio will have to streamline a simpler role for Browning. We've seen this at Colorado. You get these guys in who are top-rated guys at middle linebacker or whatever, and they just don't get to the ball. They just don't seem to make the play. Tremendous upside. I like the pick on potential. Day three, Joe Rowe, where do the Broncos have to go? Does Baron Browning give them enough hope that they've got a coverage linebacker for Travis Kelce, a guy who can stay with him?
I mean, if Terrell Cox somehow falls into the fifth round, I would love for them to go get him. The fact that they took Quinn Meinerz, I really like the player. It's interesting that they took him just because I didn't think the interior offensive line was as dire a need as clearly as George Payton did. I was more optimistic about Lloyd Cushenberry than I think the Broncos are. But by taking Quinn Meinerz, they still have not addressed right tackle. So right now they're counting on Juwan James, who has played 65 snaps since 2019, and then Calvin Anderson, who is okay last year. So right now, right tackle looks like a very big need for the Broncos. I think they could use wide receiver depth just because Tim Patrick, Cortland Sutton, and Deshaun Hamilton all have contracts running out after the season. And they could there's a possibility they're going to trade Hamilton. And wide receiver is one of those position groups that's kind of defined by your floor, because if injuries happen, all those guys are going to be doing more anyway. So I definitely think that they should look there. Tight end, after Noah Fant, kind of a question mark. I think everybody loves Albert O, but he got hurt last year, so we don't really know what the Broncos have after Noah Fant. So that could be a possibility. I also definitely think it would make sense to look at safety. Kareem Jackson is 33, playing on a one-year contract, and the depth behind him is pretty unproven. Trey Marshall played okay 2 years ago when he came in for Kareem Jackson after his DUI. But they definitely could use help, and that's one of those position groups that there's still a lot of talent left on the board.
And the last thing, this is going to be hanging over Broncos country until we're told it's not going to happen. What do you make of Aaron Rodgers and the Denver Broncos at this point?
So I have it on pretty good authority that the Broncos were, like, this close to getting Aaron Rodgers the other night. I do think that it's going to happen. I think it comes down to basically waiting on the Packers to relent. And, I mean, it's going to be an unpopular move for them. They're essentially trading away. And then it's historic. No MVP has ever been traded. But, I mean, if Aaron Rodgers basically says, I'm done unless you give me a new contract, they're basically stuck in a hard place where it's either trade away Jordan Love, which they spent a first-round pick on to be their future last year, or they're going to have to trade Aaron Rodgers. I think it's inevitable.
Hey, thank you, Joe. Hey, that's Joe Rolls. You can read him at Mile High Report, just like my guest co-host Ian St. Clair at Mile High Report. Follow him on Twitter at JORO_NFL. Joe, always a pleasure. Get your insights. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Joe.
Hey. All right, happy Derby Day. Denver tradition, the remarkable, the uncanny. Ted Trackman Johnson returns to pick the Kentucky Derby winner. A long shot, and the combination of horses that can win your pool. We have that along with Ian St. Clair of PlayColorado.com next.